Anoint my lips that I may faithfully proclaim your word. For these things we ask in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Besides flipping over your calendar sometime last night or today from November or December, what are the signs that you see that you know this Advent season, this Christmas season of the year is coming? A couple of things that grabbed my eye this year were the following. Outside of the giant supermarket on Route 40 and North Rolling Road, the Salvation Army worker was ringing his bell the week before Thanksgiving. I don't remember if previous years the Salvation Army started before Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving, but you know it's Christmas time when ding-a-ling-a-ling-ling. There's also other usual signs that Christmas Advent is coming. There's a signs in our neighborhood as people put up Christmas lights on their front lawns. And of course, who can forget the multitude of Black Friday specials? These signs are a mixture of cultural, commercial, and religious symbols associated with Christmas. In the traditions of the Christian churches in the Western Hemisphere, Advent is four Sundays preceding Christmas Day that we use in anticipation of the religious celebration of the coming of Christ into the world as both God and man, and also his second coming at the end of the world. Advent is a time for Christian believers to give thanks to God for what God has already did in the coming of Christ, and also time to prepare for Christ's second coming. While the Bible doesn't prescribe this season of the year, it doesn't forbid it either. And for good reason, many Christian churches maintain this as part of our annual calendar. It is a healthy spiritual time when observed rightly, to give thanks to God and to engage in self-examination and penitence where necessary. This morning, I want to pick up on two signs which the Apostle Paul highlights in Romans 13, 8 through 14. These are physical signs, physical realities that relate to the five senses that we can both see and touch. These physical signs point to a greater reality in our relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And so the first sign spoken of in Romans 13 is light. Romans 13, 11 through 13 says this about light. Do this, knowing that the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day. There's another sign that happens in the Benner household when night is transitioning to day. My cat gets up and reminds me it's time to feed her. When the clocks get turned back, it messes everything up. Paul's words, salvation is nearer to us than when we believed, refers to Christ's second coming. The question may be asked, how can we know which aspect of salvation that he is referring to? For Paul, our salvation was accomplished through the coming of God's Son who took our humanity unto himself. We receive forgiveness of sins when we trust in Christ who lived, died, and rose again for our salvation. And this aspect of our salvation is accomplished and received by each Christian believer when they trust in Jesus as the Christ. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This aspect of salvation, our justification before God in the Lord Jesus, is in the past tense. The moment one trusts in the Lord Jesus, he or she is counted as righteous before God through Jesus. But when Romans 13:11 speaks of salvation as being nearer than when we first believed, he's talking about something still future. It makes most sense that this future aspect of salvation finds its fulfillment in the Lord Jesus when he comes again to judge the living and the dead, when all things are made new, as Revelation 21, verse 5 says. Christ will make all things new, new heavens and new earth. God will wipe away every tear. There will no longer be any death, and Christ will judge everyone according to his works, will resurrect all people, the just to eternal life, and the unjust to eternal judgment. This aspect of our salvation is future, one in which the perfection of all things in its totality will be brought about by God in his holiness, his mercy, and his power. In Romans 13:12, there is a contrast between light and darkness. Specifically, the contrast between the deeds of darkness and the armor of light. The Apostle Paul does not leave us in confusion about what is darkness and what is light. He tells us of the deeds of darkness that we are to lay aside, to put off, to put away. And he says that we should lay aside drunkenness, sexual immorality, strife, and jealousy. The words lay aside means to rid oneself of, to put off, and to put away. The word sexual immorality is any sexual activity outside of the bonds of marriage. Marriage being the lifelong commitment between a man and a woman, who promise towards each other for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. And so they take oaths and covenant promises towards each other. Outside of this covenant of marriage, sexual intercourse is morally out of bounds. And so they are told, Paul tells us, lay aside sexual promiscuity. The sin of strife that Paul speaks of is an altercation, a contentious disposition to quarrel, to wrangle, and to use the harsh tone of a brawler. I'm assuming brawlers happen a dime a dozen. They're found in Baltimore. They're found in Philadelphia. They're found all across the world. People who want to pick a fight, whether it's a fist fight or a verbal fight with words. The word jealousy means to be envious of, to harbor malice, to be spiteful toward one another. These deeds of darkness we are to put off and form an ongoing evaluation of ourselves as we make a moral inventory of our relationship with others. And as we go to prayer, we realize, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. We walk in the light as we cling to Jesus as Lord and Savior, who calls himself the light of the world. So we must walk believing what Jesus Christ has said about himself, as well as how we are to imitate and imbibe his teaching in our lives. With Christ as our light, we are to reflect Christ's light to others. Christ is our light, the light of his divinity and humanity in one person who has called us to love him and to serve others. Jesus said to his followers in Matthew 5:14 through 16 these words, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The light of our good works will only be effective and pure when we reflect the identity, character, and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ given to us in Holy Scripture. And so we're told to put on the armor of light, to cast away the works of darkness. The second sign that Romans 13 speaks of is clothing. The Apostle Paul has just told us to put off the works of darkness. And in verse 14, he tells us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as is Paul's usual custom, when he speaks of Christian living, he not only tells us what to put off, but what to put on. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts, he says in Romans 13, 14. To put on Christ means we are to practice Christian virtues through faith in Christ. Since faith in Christ and obedience to Christ go together, we are to pursue the godly traits, looking to the Lord and asking for His help to strengthen us to obey His will. This means as Christ followers, we are to seek to live according to Christ's teachings and the values of His kingdom. As He told us in Matthew 6, not to worry or to be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Sufficient is the day. And so Paul pointed out that the works of darkness is anxiety. To put on the Lord Jesus, to borrow from my Thanksgiving sermon, is to be content in what you have. Before Paul pointed out the deeds of darkness in Romans 13, 12 and 13, he speaks of a number of the Ten Commandments in Romans 13, 8 through 10. Paul's emphasis on the commandments quoted is that to love our neighbor is by respecting his person, his property, and his marriage. And in doing so, we treat him or her appropriately as one made in the image of God. Paul's ethic is that our lives should be shaped by the redemption of Christ and by the foundational moral teachings of the Ten Commandments. Our ethics is the outworking of our new life in Christ. By putting on the Lord Jesus, we are saying no to sin and yes to righteousness. It tells us not only what we're against, but also what we're for. In closing, I'd like to share the impact of this passage in Romans 13 on the life of a historic leader in the Christian church. In the summer of 386, Aurelius Augustine sat weeping in the garden of his friend. He was weeping because he was on the verge of starting a new life in Christ, but still hesitant, lacking the final resolution to break with his old life. As he sat there, he heard a child singing in the neighboring house, "Take up and read, take up and read." Taking up the scroll which laid at his side, his eyes rested on the words in Romans 13, "Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts." Augustine said, quote, "No further would I read, nor had I any need." Instantly, at the end of this sentence, a clear light flooded my heart, and all the darkness of doubt vanished away. Augustine would later become a bishop in the church, a writer of many commentaries of Scripture, and the author of many theological classics, such as The City of God and The Confessions of Augustine. He was probably the greatest theologian of the Western Church. May God inspire us to walk in the light of Christ's person, both God and man, and walk in His redemption and work out our salvation with fear and trembling. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, help us to truly cast away the works of darkness and to imitate the holy character and teaching of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose holy name that we pray. Amen.